You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for Animal Planet's Whale Wars. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Whale Wars news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for Whale Wars.
All right, all right, all right. Enemy in their grasp.
That's right. They had it. They had it right there.
Yes, and I mean, what an amazing episode. So much happened this episode, finally.
Yeah. We finally see the Nishan.
Yes.
The Nishan Maru.
Never saw it before. Well, I've seen it.
Well, only heard of it. I'm talking about this season. We haven't seen it.
We have not.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. This season, we haven't seen it at all. We finally get a glimpse of it.
We had a few subplots. The Gojira's away.
That's right.
The Bob Barker's doing its deal, and we'll talk about that real quick right after. Mm-hmm. And Steve Irwin was left alone to deal with the Nishan Maru. And like the crew, yeah, see, we're kind of slowly piecing our crew.
Yeah, that's right. We have our subplots going on as well. Phil and I will have the main plot, and then we'll have the Michelle subplot and the Benjamin subplot.
Yeah, to give you guys a quick analogy, you might appreciate this. Michelle Macedo right now is like the Chris Altman
of the group.
We were supposed to wait for her, but we got to continue the campaign.
Yeah, so we have to keep going on.
So when she wakes up...
And Ben was sent to look for her. It's like...
And did you find her?
Yeah, she was sitting on the couch. And I'm not sure if she understands she's supposed to be here.
Did you tell her?
I did.
Okay.
She'll find her way.
All right. She is like Chris Altman. Well, here's how I kind of decided to break it down. Okay, the Gojira, great. Yeah. It's at the port. Yeah. Wonderful.
Exactly.
Enough said there. And then I want to talk about, my rundown is I want to talk about the Bob Barker, then the Nishun, and then really the crux of the episode was about Chris Altman.
Absolutely.
So hopefully Michelle, at that moment, comes in to speak about
that'll be nice. Yeah, maybe we can make that happen. It's very synchronicitous.
Yes, and obviously this isn't in chronological order, but let's talk about the Bob Barker's Midnight Mission.
Oh, yeah, that was nice. I hadn't seen a Midnight Mission at all.
I know.
This was good.
We haven't seen a Night Mission at all, either.
I don't think so. I don't recall one this season.
And first off, as soon as they deploy, they have half an hour to do this before daybreak. Like, okay, you couldn't just...
Started when earlier?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the other thing, we don't know how many hours of darkness there is at this time because, you know, it's land in a midnight sun. That's not what this place is. But, I mean, obviously, they get sunlight for more than
and as we saw
10 hours a day,
at the beginning of the episode, it was 5 a.m. and it looked like it was noon.
Exactly. So who knows? I don't know exactly when the sun, quote, goes down.
And well, we also know from Chris Altman, we learned he comes back in around like 10:40 p.m. and it's barely dark.
Yeah, so maybe it only really got dark at midnight.
30 minutes?
Know. Exactly. 30 minutes is all they have. Who knows? Well, I don't know how long it takes to get all that thing put together. I mean,
I don't know. But
yeah, it is like, you know, you kind of could have had all that prepped ahead of time, really, maybe? Or were they worried that if they had done it at all during daylight, the other ship would have seen them preparing? I don't know.
Oh, by the way, real quick, we also have Buzz, our mascot, in
Buzz
studio.
Buzz is here. Right on, yeah. Buzz.
He's been absent from most of the shows. He used to sit in on all of the shows, but now he really wants to save the whales. He really feels for him, so he's
kindred
here.
Spirit.
And I also love, so we're getting we're debriefing, and someone goes, okay, we'll just radio it. Oh. And they're like, yeah, we're not going to do that either.
No radios. Oh, by the way, no lights. What? Yeah, they have to do everything in pitch black, radio silence, and no light.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to me. I mean, I get why they have to do it, but like they were saying, if anything goes wrong, we would have no way of knowing or in any way be able to, you know, start any kind of rescue because you wouldn't be able to see them, know where they were.
Well, you signed up for this. I mean, okay, Mr. Smith, the control crane guy.
Yes.
Suck it up. You're just going to have to do it. I know you're responsible for people. I know you want to do it safe. But guess what? This is not... You signed up for unsafe. You did not sign up for safe. So do your job. I understand it's tough. Do the best you can. And in fact, you know what? Congrats to all of them because they pulled it off. Every single one.
Absolutely. But I didn't understand why they couldn't use radios while they were deploying the boat.
Because it could be picked up.
You could have. Let's have a code word. Like, I don't know. Penguins. I mean, look, penguins, which means lower. I mean, you know, how hard would that have been to figure it out?
They only had half an hour to deploy the boat. I don't think they had time to figure out code.
But they obviously had a couple of hours before they deployed it because they talked about doing it while it was still light out.
I don't know.
So that part I didn't understand.
Oh, could it be interpreted as, okay, why are they radioing in at all about anything?
But all you had to do is do a click. Two clicks means lower. One click means raise. I mean, you know, even if somebody picked that up, they wouldn't. It just sounded like static.
All right. You're smart. Ben, what do you think?
Yes.
Are you the new Stu of the group?
Well, so.
Except...
Okay.
I agree with John. I don't see how hard it could have been to figure something out. You know.
Hey, guys, you guys actually have a caller on the line?
All right, let's hear
it. Is it Michelle Macedo? Hello?
Hello, caller.
If you're well, you can speak. All right.
Hopefully we'll get them back.
All right. Well, anyways.
But again, this is the thing I'm asking is, you know you're going to have to do a night raid, for lack of a better term, at some point during your campaign. Why aren't these things worked out ahead of time? Here are the signals and, you know, why do they have night goggles so you can at least see what the heck you're doing?
That's what I figured they should have.
And why, they have them on the camera, obviously.
Crane operator's there. He's claiming he can't see people on the lower deck, and he's trying to operate a crane in pitch darkness with no night vision.
Yeah.
You kind of need to see what you're doing there.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he's just doing all by feel. He's just listening for when, higher, lower, whatever it is. But again, I'm going, look.
Maybe, again.
Why don't you have some of this worked out ahead of time? It's like they're throwing things together. It's like, oh, yeah.
That's kind of been the story.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Of Whale Wars.
Yeah.
But I also find it ironic. Okay, so what? As soon as it gets dark, you're like, okay, can't search for the Nishun because we don't have night vision. And guess we're going to wait.
Like, yeah.
Is that, you guys never
and
had
no
night
radar
vision?
In the thing. No radar on the
lack
helicopter.
Of equipment seems to be a really big problem.
They need more donors. So if you want help.
Yeah, donate to go on Animal Planet.
Exactly. Whatever. What is the Sea Shepherd or whatever the heck it is?
Yeah, search Sea Shepherd organization.
They've been going for 4 seasons. Ice has always been a problem, and they're claiming the Japanese might have strengthened their hulls to break through ice.
Yeah.
Why didn't they?
Yeah.
Well, here's the I can see why. It slows you down, you know?
Yeah, I imagine they went for speed rather than power.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, things. There's pros and cons, and you try to weigh, you know? Of course, if they could, they'd have the fastest boat, they'd have the sturdiest boat, they'd have the biggest boat, they'd have guns on that boat, they'd have all that.
This is what I'm thinking. They have one of the fastest boats in the Gogeta. Of course, it's broken down, but if you had a fast boat, you'd think one of the boats they'd turn into an ice, what do they call it, ice smasher, ice, but whatever, ice class, whatever.
Icebreaker.
But again, their whole thing was, okay, you know, so we have a fast boat, but we also need the other boats to be fast so that way, because, you know, they're not campaigning together.
Yeah, but
most of the time they're 50 miles apart.
But if their boat, their ship, the Japanese whaling vessel, the factory ship, is an icebreaker, I'm imagining that whatever they do to make their ship an icebreaker is going to be at least as fast as that one.
Hey, guys.
It's a bigger ship.
The caller is now on the line.
Hello, caller.
Hello, caller.
Caller, you're on the line. What's your name and where are you from?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
I'm Kevin from Alabama.
Okay. Hi, Kevin from Alabama. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing quite well. Are you a fan of Whale Wars?
No, it sucks.
All right. What sucks about it for you?
Well, because they don't have enough Krabby Patties.
Something tells me... This might not be a legit call.
No. Okay. Well, no. What do you mean they don't have enough? Can you
explain? They don't have any Krabby Patties, and they always forget the pickles, and they don't have any kelp, but...
All right. Valid argument. Have you seen tonight's episode at all?
Fuck no, I don't watch that shit.
All right.
Okay.
Well, we appreciate you calling in. Keep tuning in. Thanks a lot for your call. So, Kevin from Alabama, we thank you. Not a fan of the show,
or apparently he is a fan of Krabby Patties.
Yeah, you know what? Jess, let's hook him up with some
Krabby Patties is what he
Krabby called. Patties. All right. Well, Kevin from Alabama, you may not like Whale Wars, but we'll get...
There's another phone caller.
Okay.
All right. Hello. Hello?
Oh, hey. I'm Patrick from Arkansas.
Hey, Patrick.
Patrick from Arkansas. How are you? Do you like Whale Wars?
I'm good. Yeah, I think Whale Wars is pretty cool.
What do you like about Whale Wars? And have you seen all the seasons?
Well, yeah, I've seen them all. And, well, Whale Wars, I like the initial, you know, how they're... So, never mind, I'm going to go.
You like pie?
All right. Well, we appreciate you calling
in. There's one more phone caller.
All right. We'll take one more.
Hello?
What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is James. I'm calling from Canada.
Oh, how are you?
Sounds like the same
where
person.
Where in
Canada? Hello?
Where in Canada? Hey, how you doing?
Dublin.
That's cool. Do you like Whale Wars? Did you already call by any chance?
No.
Are you sure?
Positive.
All right. Well, have you seen tonight's episode? Have you seen all the episodes?
Looks like we lost it.
All right.
I think that was also Patrick, may know each other.
All right. Well,
and Kevin.
Fair enough. We appreciate if those were prank calls. We appreciate them. Hey, keep them coming.
Yeah. Right on.
Try to be more creative, though.
Yeah.
If those were prank calls,
well,
honestly.
Do you want one more creative?
Sure.
Yes.
Sure. Let's show. Here we go. Throw my way.
Let's do this.
Caller, you're on the line.
How are you? Hello?
Hello.
Hey, what's your name? Yeah, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Georgia.
Georgia. How are you? How's Georgia?
Good. It's good. I like it down here.
So do you like Whale Wars?
Huh?
Do you like Whale Wars?
Yes.
What? Have you seen all the episodes?
Oh, dog.
Yeah.
Well, what did you think of tonight's episodes? Just overall impressions.
Yeah, it was good.
It was good. What did you like most about it?
I ain't really like it like that, but I like the other ones.
You didn't like this one. So what separated this episode from the other episodes?
It should have had more action.
It just had more action. All right, fair enough. What's your favorite? I mean, we loosely define what action means on the show, and we all have sort of the things we like in terms of the action. What speaks to you? Is it when they deploy the small boats? When the helicopter's out and about, when they're trailing someone, what defines action for you on the show?
Excuse me, can you repeat that?
Yeah, what kind of action do you like? Do you like them throwing stink bombs? Do you like them with the potato gun? Or do you like the small boats? What part of the action do you like?
The potato gun.
All
right, we like that too. Ben, you love that, don't you?
I like the potato gun. I like when they heckle them in any way.
All right. And go ahead.
I like the boat too.
The boat too. We love the boats
too. Good.
I like the Gojira.
You didn't say it right.
Gojira.
Sorry.
What do you think about Chris in the helicopter? Should he have slept?
That was cool.
That was cool. All right. Do you want to give a special shout out to anyone before we let you go?
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to all my rivals that be on the track with me. I want to give a shout out to my mom, my dad, and all my family.
All right.
Okay, there you go.
All right.
Well, mom, dad, and all your friends.
And family.
And family.
I'm a rival.
That's right. All right. Well, thank you for calling in, and keep listening in.
Bye.
All right. So
he said he's a rapper. I wish he.
Wait, she's
a whale rapper.
She always, right?
I don't know.
Whatever. Let's move on.
No, hey. I respect my callers, prank callers or non. We appreciate you calling in, so thank you very much. Anyways, you may have heard Michelle. Michelle finally came in, and you know what? As predicted, she came in right at the Chris Altman timeline.
Well, first of all, I sense too much testosterone in here, and like Chris Altman, I
needed rest.
I felt like the helicopter, and I needed rest. I needed rest from BS, but unfortunately, I landed on the boat and face-to-face have come with Paul Watson, who doesn't care if I'm alive or not. All
exactly.
of you guys are Paul Watson.
No, you know what? Hey, all right, first off, before we get to the full Chris Altman human side of the story, let's talk about the Nishun. And so they've built this whole episode up in the previews that, you know, we're going to find the factory ship. And, you know, so I thought it would be a longer search, but I'm glad it wasn't. And we find it right off the bat, and then 13 knots, it goes into the ice.
Wait, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if you guys already talked about it, but why didn't their boat break?
The Japanese reinforced. Vessel?
They thought that they reinforced it.
Yeah, probably
Chris
reinvested.
Said they probably went to port and reinforced the hull.
Couldn't they have been able to tell?
Well, no, because you do it from the inside,
interior.
Usually.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between a ship that's an icebreaker ship and one
a reinforced
with reinforcers?
The hull,
so
it has an additional thickness in the hull, plus there's additional ribs inside to brace it.
But this wasn't that ship.
No, this was that ship.
We don't know because
we can't
inside.
No, they put other stuff on the ship, right?
What?
Because they were looking at the ship, and it was breaking the ice, and they were like, oh, I don't know how they're doing that. Like, what?
Because they'd never seen that ship do that before.
Oh, but so it was an icebreaker ship.
Well, yeah, probably. It obviously was icebreaker, but what they were confused by is it had never done anything like that, and they didn't know it to be an icebreaker ship, so they were surmising that they reinforced the hull and put in extra ribs inside the hull to make it an icebreaker.
Mm,
that's what they were thinking.
Tricky. They've been outsmarted.
They have. And so this is Chris, hour 12. Right, because about 5 p.m. at the time when he does find them.
Yeah.
And so he's, and again, he sees them, and very long day, I get that.
Yeah.
But then he decides to go back, and, you know.
We had a 19-hour day, and he said 9 hours behind the controls or something like that, and didn't quite get the
hours.
Whole thing.
9 hours of straight flying.
Yeah.
Well, because during
straight flying, because he had to come in to refuel.
Right,
so
but I
mean
in the
brakes,
air.
I don't know how long his brakes were, but. Yeah, I guess he decided that he couldn't fly any longer and be safe.
And, well, the whole crux of it is, okay, do we follow? Do we not follow? And obviously, you know what? This is the first time I would have expected Paul Watson to say, you know what, head on. Let's go.
Yeah, I thought for
Bird
sure.
Bird in the hand.
It. Exactly. They've already broken up the ice. We just follow their tracks. Now, I don't know how long it took before they got to that place, mm-hmm. but you'd think there was already a trail blazed.
Still very risky.
That's what I was thinking.
They were quite far behind.
Yeah, okay.
And to get to there probably would have been to rendezvous.
And why don't they have another guy who can fly the helicopter?
That's what I'm wondering. I doubt that they pay that guy.
Okay, do you guys say they paid him, right?
He mentioned in his interview that he said
I'm not just doing this for a paycheck.
Mm.
This is a commitment, calling.
And you didn't think that to mean I'm not getting paid. You guys
know
that he's getting paid very little.
It would have been. This is not a job for me. It's a calling. That's something that says I'm not getting paid. I'm not just doing this for a paycheck. Means I'm getting a paycheck, but I'm not doing it for just the paycheck.
Mm. Yeah.
Plus, he's got a family to support, so I'm guessing. Yeah, he's probably getting paid.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. I wish that someone had their license just for emergencies if something happens.
Yeah, I mean,
here's the thing. If he's getting paid, the rest of them are volunteers.
Yeah, which means they should be able to afford another helicopter guy.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, if we put up a list of all the equipment that is broken over the seasons, like, come on, you think they have money for a helicopter pilot?
Well, they've got the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I'm just saying that if you're going to have a helicopter and you've got enough money, you got to, at some point, especially because it's so instrumental, of course, you could keep that thing up in the air. It comes in, hey, fine, go sleep. The other guy, gal, takes it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just I think this was Paul Watson's, like, or someone in the planning department. I don't know how they could. I mean, you know, didn't they think they'd run into this situation?
They don't have unlimited funds, so I'm guessing that they didn't have enough for that.
Ben, let's go back to season one, who's been rewatching. They didn't even have a hanger for that thing, let alone a mechanic and all that, and they kind of mentioned that this episode. But, like, there was no support for Chris Altman just 4 seasons ago.
Right. But, yeah, but it's 4 seasons. I mean, each year they, okay, so you got a hanger, now you got a mechanic, and then you got 2 more seasons.
I don't think that's how it worked out.
Oh, it isn't?
No.
Well, I'd rather get another helicopter pilot than the hangar.
They did fine in season one without it. I think they could use another pilot.
If Paul Watson drops some weight, he should go out and get that instead of telling everyone else to do it. Poor Chris.
All right.
The guilt.
I agree. I agree that they don't have unlimited funds, so they're doing the best they can with what they have. They would love to have 3 pilots so they could be running that thing 24/7. I'm sure they would, but they don't. But, you know, as I'm watching it, I'm just going, damn, too bad they don't have another pilot.
Buzz, the AfterBuzz mascot, sorry to interrupt, is here telling us what's up, telling us what he thinks about the episode.
Well, all right, let me ask you this because, all right, you guys are taking it. Michelle, all right, we're going to define the tone of our show now.
Okay,
because
let's go.
This show was very, it was all about Chris Altman. And it was, like last episode, It was a very human story. And so I want to choose right now if we're on Chris's side or if we're not. If we're not, then we get to have some fun. If we are, then we got to keep this serious, and I want this to be a serious discussion. Well, Paul Watson. What's that?
I want you to be serious. Go. Just be serious. Choose it. We're being serious. What?
We're being serious. No. Okay. So, a lot of times, you know, you would in the past, you would hear me yelling about Chris Altman. Like, I would be on Paul Watson's side of, okay, you know what? Come on. You signed up for this. I understand it's tough. You've been out there for a long time, but now, guess what? We did it. We have them, but now the whole point is now we got to them. You've got to stay with them.
But I guess the argument is, but look, I'm the only one who can fly this. I'm falling asleep. If I fall asleep, not only do I die, but you lose a helicopter.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
But what I was thinking is, why does he need 4 hours? I mean, does he really need 4 hours of sleep?
I guess Wait.
I mean, because I know the FAA, not that the FAA has anything to do with this, but the FAA, you have to have a certain amount of sleep before you fly again. I mean, is there some sort of criterion that they're
using? Here's the thing. I mean, all he had to do, right, they just needed that the surpassing of that ice.
Right.
Now, if that took just another 4 hours, then you can have all the rest you want, buddy.
Yeah, that I agree.
They could bookend for 2 cycles of sleep is all that I can think of for 4 hours.
Yeah. I mean, he was obviously running out of gas, so he had to go back and refuel. But you'd think, just get back up there for another 2 hours just to tell us where they're going and just let us know where they're heading.
Yeah.
It seems like that.
Do you think he was, like, falling asleep, though?
He didn't seem like it was. He seemed like he was okay.
I mean, I can't tell, obviously, but he looked pretty awake, like, enough to just give them a general direction.
But we don't know. I mean, we're in his body. We don't know if he was falling asleep.
I feel like for him to say that, to say, like, I can't do it anymore, is, like, a big deal. I mean, meaning, like, he wouldn't do that unless he really, really felt that way.
Well, I got that impression because, honestly, I think if this was one of those situations where he thought someone was quitting, Paul Watson would be a lot angrier. They had a heart-to-heart talk.
Right.
And
is what I didn't understand. Okay, I know you're tired. Get coffee and a Red Bull, whatever it is. Somebody go with him. Keep him awake.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Why, you know, because that I could have seen. You could do that for another 2-3 hours and be okay.
And
somebody's with you. I mean, and
maybe
helping
the
you
other
out.
Person. Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't do that.
Yeah.
That seems like that would have been good to keep plying him with coffee. Whatever you have to do to keep awake for the next 3-4 hours.
Or the cameraman could have been handing him coffee.
Or whatever, because you can fit more than the cameraman and whatever in there.
Yeah.
Because they had 3-4 people in it before.
Or, like, I mean, it wouldn't be legal, but, like, have them teach someone really fast. You know?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
And have them just, like, grab the reins.
Here, you got your head.
Seriously. The gentle buzzing. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's better than the depths of the Antarctic.
And it seemed that you seemed so nonplussed. We'll find him again. Don't worry about it.
I know.
Because now that I found him, it's so easy to find him. It only took 2 months. Next, I'll be up an hour.
They're not going anywhere.
Well, he was, you could tell he was lying through his, you know, it's one of those things, hope for the best, but he forgot the second part, expect the worst.
Yeah.
So he was hoping for the best, and he wanted to convince himself. I think he was obviously convincing Paul that, you know what, this is going to be okay. But in, deep down, you knew he was also convincing himself.
He's trying to convince himself,
well,
yeah.
And he's, like, really tired, so he's, like, trying to justify it and trying to be positive. It's like if you're really, really tired or hungry or something, you will say anything to get what you want. So, like, he just wanted to make everybody happy. I think that he always does that, and he always pulls through, and he does a lot for the ship.
This is what I didn't get. I mean, you've been looking for this thing for 2 months. This campaign eats or, I mean, wins on this. Mm-hmm. We finally found the damn thing, and now I gotta get some shut eye.
Well, here's the thing. Here's
instead of get somebody
espresso.
In here, get the coffee in here, get the Red Bull,
yeah, the
do
coffee.
Everything we can.
That's what I was thinking.
Get them in there with me. Make sure I'm staying awake.
The only thing I could think of during this whole time, him going to bed essentially, was the quote he provided earlier. Like, there's work to do. We're gonna work now. We can rest later. He's got.
Chris said
he's
that.
Got, yeah.
Yeah. He said
he's
that.
Got the ship like in his sights, and I get he was tired, but there, you know, there's coffee always.
Here's, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, he did say it best. You know, it's not for lack of trying, right? That's, you know. But I also think here's what, yeah, the coffee and all that, you guys keep saying that. But he knew the whole crew, that includes the Gojira, that includes the Bob Barker, but especially Steve Irwin, who was pervy to this, is they know you are the key, mm-hmm. the sole man for this whole campaign.
Right.
You got to let that pick you up
yeah.
in these moments.
And what bothered me wasn't that he was too tired. If he was too tired, fine. If he was in danger of crashing, I get that. But there didn't seem to be any kind of urgency about, look, what can we do? Is there anything we can do? Look, we got to get back out there. What can we do? There was no discussion. It was just like, you know.
Like,
you know.
I'll go over some calculations.
And Paul Watson,
Paul.
I'm going, well, if he feels, you know, pilot says he can't fly, he can't fly.
I mean, that's another thing. I've never really thought Paul was a really take charge guy. the amount that I've seen, anything can happen, and he's just, oh, whatever. That's okay. Whatever. And he doesn't really, like, he gives orders, but it doesn't
Talking
really
about Paul?
Seem. Yeah. It doesn't seem like he really makes sure they follow through on them.
Mm.
Of course, it's really easy to judge while you're sitting in a nice, comfortable
yeah,
studio.
Seriously.
And you haven't been up for, you know, flying for 9 hours.
And it's like 90 degrees outside.
Exactly. But, you know, it is Whale Wars. I mean, they're the ones that keep talking about what a commitment they've made. And it's, you know, we must do this. It's a do or die situation. And
yeah.
And then all of a sudden, push comes to shove. And it's like, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I think, for me, it doesn't ruin my view of Chris Altman. I think he's going to still be the heroic figure that I've viewed him to be in the past 4 seasons. But at the same time, if he just did this act, I would have been like, that man is godlike.
Yeah. I don't have the experience of the last 3 seasons. I only know this one. So this was the point where I'm going, this is it. This is your moment to really step up. Not that flying for, you know, being, you know, working 19 hours in the day. Yeah, okay, that's great. But when you actually see the thing, I mean, this is your moment to actually go, okay, let's pull out all
but
the stops.
But really, he just laid down.
Two things.
Yeah.
A, it has come to my attention. We are getting tons of callers. We will take you. Please keep calling in. But call in after our commercial. We'll do a special segment. We'll take all your calls. We'll answer all the questions. And, hey, if you just want to have fun by prank calling us, hey.
Okay.
By all means.
All right.
Give
prank
us
away.
Your best.
But that is the time to do it. But the second thing is also, what was I going to say? In the regard of Chris.
Oh, about.
No, what I was going to say.
He laid down instead of stepped up. Oh, everyone was relying on him.
Yes. But I had a, well, my point was this, like, we're also isolating it that this was his one shot. And, you know, John, you made a good point. You haven't seen
the
prior.
Yeah, I know. I have no history of him, so I don't see all these things that you're
referring to. So, obviously, as they said, you know, he's been with the Sea Shepherds for 5 campaigns. Right. And he's done a lot. And the thing that I think just society in general, I'm going to speak to more American society because that's the one I know better, is we think of, okay, we have to do one amazing thing, you know, because obviously when we go to the movies, the hero does one amazing act, and like that's one amazing story. And Chris Altman in his own right has had many of those stories where he's been a heroic figure. But now here's the other thing. It's also life. And if especially you sign up to do something like this, then yeah, every day you're going to have to come up with a new heroic act.
Right.
And I'm sorry.
And here's the thing. I don't mean to denigrate the guy. I don't know about his heroism. The fact that he's out there is heroic enough for me. But what I'm saying is the way they're telling the story, the way they're painting it. We 2 months. We finally found him. This is, everybody's going crazy. Oh my God! We're gonna win. I gotta hit the sack.
I'm really tired. It's like taking a road trip and being like, you guys take over. We have to stop for the night. Like, I'm so tired.
And I just think the way they told that, it was like,
yeah.
What?
I know. So you think, well, okay. It was in like 2 lines of dialogue with him and the guy.
Well, there was no real discussion about it. So
are you mad about the story?
I'm mad about a couple of things. Just that first of all, I'm mad because I finally got the thing and I've invested time in this show now and I wanted to get the damn thing because I want him to stop the wailing.
I know.
And then, you know, I was excited as they were. They finally found it because I've been watching for how many episodes and, you know, finally.
Episode 7.
Exactly. Okay. So, and then I go, what? What do you mean you're going to go sleep? What? How could they're right there. You got to stay on the thing. How you're going to lose them? So I'm feeling cheated and angry because there doesn't seem to be discussion. Look, if it was explained to me, the danger is the guy's falling asleep. He's going to die out there. But none of that gets covered. It's just blaze there. Mm-hmm. Nothing happens. Like, what?
I think there was one
disregarded
line that addressed that he could die if he could potentially die if he went back out there.
Mm-hmm.
A 10-second interview with Chris Altman. He's like, this is glossed dangerous. I can't go back out. This is a hazard to myself and the chopper. And then they go back to like, oh, he was so tired. And we almost
here's the thing. And that would have been interesting. But if they had sat there and had the discussion and said, look, what can we do? I mean, what do you need? Do you need this? Do you need that? Can we have a person go up with you? I mean, look, we don't want to lose them. And if it was after all that, you still say, look, it's just not safe. That would have been really compelling. But no, it was like, I've got to go see.
And here's in the midst of this season, as you say, right? Just even tonight, we have the Midnight Mission.
Yeah.
And I don't think they portrayed that in the best way. I mean, that was a dangerous mission.
Yeah.
Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah, I was trying to figure that out.
And the Bob Barker, the crew before, right? The 2 small boats that was stranded for, you know, up to, what was it, 12, 13 hours?
Right, yeah.
I mean, that was a heroic act in itself.
Right.
So, you know, we've seen in the measurement of just this season alone, like, you could go out. It's okay. Yeah. You're not freezing to death. You'll be fine.
Exactly. Except for the hypothermia.
Yeah. And again, I don't think it's not about the people that they're doing, whether they're heroes or whether they're not. I think they're heroic because they've taken on this mission and they've done this commitment. Fulfilling this commitment.
Or the whales.
But I am looking at this as a storytelling. I'm going, this sucks. You set me up and then you don't follow through. It's like,
and they didn't even, could have been way more suspense.
Yes, and you could, even that mission at night. Now, why didn't they we haven't been out there on a night mission. We don't know what that's like. We don't know the real danger. They should really let us know, because the more we know about how dangerous it is, the more we're going to be going, oh, geez, man, I cannot believe, because I remember in the first few episodes, when they would give me those, because they used to give me a few more of that, I was thinking, I don't think I wouldn't have the stones to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really get much of a sense of danger. Like, in the first season, I'm going to go back to that a lot because that's all I know. The first mate was explaining to the new crew, you know, if you fall in these waters, you're probably going to die before we can get you. And you understand that's pretty dangerous. And then the crew flips over.
In a boat.
In a boat, in a delta. And, you know, they all make it, and then you kind of forget how dangerous it really is. And I don't know. For me, things just seem you kind of have to remind yourself, like, wow, this is.
Well, what they try, what they try to tell tonight is, I think they're still finding the balance of the human side of this and the compelling, exciting whale wars part of this.
But I think they should intertwine them. I mean, the human story is great, but the compelling stuff is the fact that human beings are putting themselves in jeopardy.
Right. The stakes are high. All they have to do is...
Yeah, they just have to tell the story better.
Pick out the clips.
I think.
Again, I think this season particularly, it hasn't hit. It hasn't found its stride
yet. A few times it has. I mean, there's been... I mean, and I'm still... this is what I love, because at the end of it, they always show you the next week, and the promo is always like, oh, man, you're kidding me. Yeah. That boat that gets, is riding in front of the Nichan Maru, and it looks like the hull hits its little outboard motor.
Oh yeah,
That looks pretty. That's nasty.
Wait, it was
like that
nasty
last
one.
Week, though.
Yeah,
when they dropped
each week.
The,
yeah, the promo looks amazing.
When they dropped the boat and then it like flipped over right away.
Right,
that was in daylight. Oh,
that was from season one.
That's what they did in the Midnight Mission, right?
There we go.
But in the dark.
Yeah, but they did it successfully.
This is right here why I don't feel that what they're doing is so dangerous. Everyone made it, but it's still dangerous.
This is why you think it's not dangerous?
Well, I don't think it's not. I just have to remind myself, there's real danger here.
You forget, because they all came out alive. Everybody's good. But you forget that they could die if they're out there for longer than whatever it is. I don't know how many minutes in the water.
Not many.
I mean, I always think of it when I'm out here and the weather is, nice, whatever, and I get acclimated to the weather, and then it's 60 degrees and it's cold. And then in Boston, 30 degrees is like a good day, like warm, whatever. And I'm like, oh man, it's like so much worse. But here, talking about 30 degrees now, whatever, it's fine. Just wear a jacket, whatever. And so whatever they're in, which is at one point it was negative.
Yeah, I don't know.
35.
Negative a lot.
The wind would be, their faces are like exposed, and the wind would be. That shiznit would hurt. It is not fun. There's like wind that was like 10 degrees one time, and I went outside. I took a shower, and my hair froze. And I'm not kidding. And plus, it was like little glass needles on my face. It's awful.
That's why the women there don't shower.
Whoa, women wear there? Yeah. That's why they don't shower? Hello, did you see that lady with the mom cut? With the Dutch mom cut?
Okay.
All Dutch moms. No hair.
We don't know what Dutch moms
are. Same amount of hair. What about all the beards?
What about all the beards?
Paul Watson. I'm saying if people shouldn't shower because they have hair, then that just doesn't make sense. It's just, let's not get into the gender thing.
Congratulations on making no point whatsoever.
Okay. I found $5.
Cool.
All right.
Then I found $5 and Phil's an asshole.
All right. So it seems like, all right, Chris Altman, at the end of the day, he was battling between should I stay, should I go. Eventually he makes the decision, I should stay. So at the end of the day, for you guys, opinions on that?
I'm glad he stayed. I think they need him.
And you think he's committed, or you think he's just like, okay, I probably fucked up, I should stay.
You know, I hadn't even thought about that.
I'm
going to go with the latter.
That's kind of what I thought at that moment. I was like, leave them now.
Yeah, because I'm sure that if they were to find him, if they found the Nichan Maru the next day and caught up with it, probably, go out on a high note.
Yeah.
But, damn it. I was sure we were going to get that thing. Shoot. It's my fault.
And then, you talk about Paul not strategizing. I think he knew from the get-go. Give this guy a sea shepherd with the ashes, and bury him properly.
And you think that he did that on purpose to keep him on the thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. That's very
manipulative. So do you think that was even a legit...
I think it was legit. Okay. I don't think
totally
he'd stoop that low.
I don't know.
But,
that's pretty good strategizing.
It was a good time to do that. All right. Yeah. Chris is feeling down.
That is very strategic.
Yeah, you guys wouldn't have the bravado and the genius to have thought of that, would you?
Me? I don't know. If I was there, maybe. I've done things like that.
The answer is yes, we all would. And I think that Chris then got into this whole, like, emotional thing about this is what he's been dreaming of doing for his whole life. And then I feel like the guilt trip really started on himself, and that's why I feel like he stayed.
And you know what? I think he did, in a lot of ways, everyone loses sight of why they really got into something. Now, if you're flipping burgers at the age of 60... yeah, that may not have been your life's passion.
You might realize that at 60.
I don't know.
Well, maybe it is.
And if it is, right on, brother. But listen, if it's not, you know, if your passion was to fly helicopters, and this, you know, don't lose sight of that. And I'm glad, you know, through guilt, through Paul, whatever it may have been, divine intervention, whales, seals on ice, I don't know. I'm glad he realized it. And he better be effing amazing for the upcoming campaign.
Well, he's been amazing so far, I think.
Well, yeah, they're going back to port. Mm-hmm. So he's not going to be the one that finds a Nishan Maru.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. He can just go on the Bob Barker.
Yeah, but he can't. Can he fly from there? Is that thing able
It doesn't
to
have it? A hangar, I don't
Yeah,
think.
But it, can it hold the helicopter? Is there a deck big enough for it? Oh, okay, well, maybe he will then.
That's what they should do.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
But my guess is, you know, they don't have... Geez, you know what? We probably should have had a fueling station here for the helicopter.
Yeah.
No, all right. Yeah. Well, here's kind of a side note before we go to commercial. So the Bob Barker is tailing a fueling vessel.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just get gas from them.
I know. Like, what?
So they pay a little more.
Yeah. Just commandeer it.
Commandeer it.
Hey, listen, guys.
They did. They did the circles. They did the guns. They did the things.
Yeah, well, you know what? Hey, guys, we're going to need some gas.
Maybe they call timeout.
If it's okay with you.
I know.
Call timeout.
Or before you circle them, be like, okay, we don't know why you're here either. Whatever. Refuel. We don't like you. Take all the fuel from the Japanese.
I think the next ship that the Sea Shepherds need is a fueling vessel. So they can stay out there forever.
Yeah, that would be good.
Forever and ever.
And another helicopter pilot after that.
All right. Why don't we make a list of all the things they need?
we can start make a list. You can go to the website. You can start buying them for people. I bought you.
I bought you a fueling, helicopter
yes,
pilot.
I bought you a fueling vessel.
There you go. That would be nice. What would that one be called? The John Comerford?
Yeah, I was gonna say.
No, I'm not buying that.
No. All right. Glad you care about the whales.
I'll buy some potato gun material.
All right. Well,
I'll
with
buy
that,
the potatoes.
Sounds good to me. All right, let's go to our commercial, and then hopefully we'll come back with an amazing song that'll get us pumped into the special segment where we take prank callers.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729. 256-1729.
Big television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729.
424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig!
The wig will come out.
When the TV show is over, get your AfterBuzz on.
And we're back.
All right. No music.
No music.
All right, I guess that means we're going to be all serious for the prank callers.
No, why don't you sing
serious for the prank callers? All right.
All right.
If there are any there.
Line them up. Hello?
Hi, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name's James. I'm calling from Illinois.
Hi.
Hi, James from Illinois.
Did you watch Whale Wars?
I'm sorry?
Did you watch this episode of
Whale Wars? Actually, no, I didn't watch Whale Wars, but I've got a specific question for one of you.
All right. For one of us, a specific one of us or just any of us?
Yes, a specific one of you.
Okay.
I've got a question for Buzz the Dog.
Yes.
Okay, Buzz the Dog will answer.
Looking at him right now.
Can you ask Buzz if he wants a Krabby Patty?
All right, I will ask him.
All right, so I just want you guys to know that in the chat room right now, thanks for calling, caller.
Thank you.
In the chat room right now, they're raving about how we're covering Whale Wars, and this is the worst sea show ever, and we should be covering SpongeBob because it is the ultimate nautical show.
All right. Well, kudos to SpongeBob.
Yeah, we're glad they get some good ratings.
That's
there.
A good
got
idea.
A lot of fans out there, SpongeBob.
John knows a lot of 10-year-olds.
Hi, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'd like to know your name, actually.
I would like to know your name first.
Well, my name is Steve.
Hi, Steve. What's up? What are you thinking about? Tell me your problem.
I was thinking about you showing your tits.
Oh, interesting. You know what? You can go and jack off in someone else's face.
All right.
We have a new caller on the line.
All right.
Hi, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
I was just waiting for it.
Oh, hey. This is Patrick from Portland, Oregon.
Patrick, hey. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
Would you like to talk about Whale Wars or another subject?
Oh, no, Whale Wars. That's completely cool. I love Whale Wars.
All right, we love Whale Wars, too. Do you have a question or do you have a comment?
Well, I've been a vegan for, 12 months, pretty much, and it's, Whale Wars is really cool. How they try to save the animals, and it makes me feel like they're actually making a difference.
Would you ever go on one of those ships?
Oh, definitely. I've actually always wanted to be on a Whale Wars ship, actually.
Are you too young to sign up? You probably can sign up. I don't know the full procedure of getting on there, but is that why you became a vegan?
Whale Wars wasn't the main inspiration, but yeah, I'm 15.
Okay. All right. Well, did you know Ben is also 15, and he's training to be a vegan? No, I'm just kidding about that. But no, I think...
red meat.
No, I think that's very admirable of you to want to do at such a young age.
Yeah, what was your reasoning?
What was my reason? Well, have you seen Food, Inc.?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that movie was a major part of why. Mm-hmm. But I started reading into some PETA 2 stuff and... Mm-hmm. Well, it's been really cool.
All right.
Give us the main example of what inspired you. Was there a scene or a story that particularly keeps you going?
Well, let me think about that because it's been a while.
Go ahead.
I had a friend, right, who was a vegetarian, and well, he showed me all these different clips of animals being abused and stuff in different areas of the world, especially China. And my heart just, exploded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very sad. There's no way of really picking, obviously what animal you would want to save. Obviously, you want to save all the animals you can. But are whales... the animals you want to save versus, let's say, just pandas or elephants or something like that? And obviously that's a very tough question.
Yeah. Whales, they are definitely one of the more, really higher intelligent animals. And, well, it depends on what would be more valuable to the Earth, I guess.
Okay.
What do you think is more valuable?
I think... the balance of nature.
So hopefully you would save a little bit of everything, Noah's Ark.
I guess so.
Fair enough. And I'm not asking the right questions right now. What do you like most about Whale Wars, the show? And have you seen all the seasons?
I haven't seen all of the seasons, but I've seen the whole first season,
mm-hmm.
and most of the most recent one.
Okay.
And I love the band Gojira.
Oh yeah.
I thought it was really cool. Yeah. That they renamed their ship after that band.
Oh.
We actually did not know it was a band.
Yeah, we got his name
after
that.
It's a band.
the monster Godzilla.
Yeah, you haven't heard of Gojira.
No.
Yeah.
What kind of band is that?
Oh, man. Well, it is a death metal band. You guys would just have to look them up. All their songs are about, they're all about saving the planet and animals. I think all the members are vegan.
You can look that up for us, Jess? Look up Gojira.
Play some Gojira.
That's awesome. Well, good for you, Patrick.
What's the spelling on that?
I imagine it's the same way.
Yeah,
it's G-O-G-I-R-A. Is that right, James?
Let's all four try to spell it out to him at the same time.
How do you spell it, James?
It's Gojira.
How do you spell it?
Yeah.
G-O-R.
G-O-J-I-R-A.
Yeah, same spell.
Yeah.
So while Jesse's looking that up, that's very cool. That's a very interesting fact that you brought up. We definitely appreciate that. Do you have? I mean, the rest of my co-hosts, feel free to ask away.
What do you feel about Paul Watson? Too much?
Paul Watson, like, have you ever felt he's lied before? You know.
Mm-hmm.
I know Ben did. I mean, the big thing, obviously, there's some controversy with the first season where he got shot. Did he not get shot?
Yeah.
So is that what you're referring to?
They shot him.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay.
I mean, he did get shot, but... Yeah.
Not.
But he... I don't know how to explain it.
I mean, do you respect him? You know, what are your feelings towards Paul Watson? Are they mostly positive or are they negative?
There are some positives because, like, he has been helping whales and helping, you know, spread the cause. But, you know, he's done a lot. I don't know how to explain it.
Well,
I just think he's lied about a lot of things.
Well, are you a member of any organizations, like, Greenpeace? I mean, Paul Watson isn't a member anymore, but anything like that?
Well, I'm a member of PETA too. I've done some protests in Portland and places.
Oh, awesome. Is
and
is there any upcoming events or anything that we should know about from PETA?
Well, I mean, on their website, They would have all the events that they're going to do, all their protests are scheduled. I mean, it's a real experience whenever you go to one of the protests.
Mm-hmm. What was it like for you?
Whenever I went, there was a lot of people, probably around 40 to 45, and we protest outside of the KFC. And, there were people, we actually convinced some people to stop eating there. It was a really good feeling.
That's very cool. Anytime you can affect people in that sort of way, that's always a good feeling.
On the coast there in Oregon, did you see any whales?
I've been to the coast, but I haven't, you know, been in, like, been on a boat to the coast or...
Have you seen a whale?
Anything like that. I've seen a whale, yeah.
Cool.
Very cool.
Did you go whale watching?
No.
All right.
I would love to, though.
Yeah, you would do that in Antarctica?
You just really want to get
on board. I would definitely do that. I mean, even if I didn't get paid, I wouldn't care, just to be a part of the cause.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Sign up. Email Paul Watson. Give him a call.
Any last comments before we let you go? And by the way, I appreciate you being a legitimate caller. Not that we don't appreciate our pranksters, but I think, you know, it's always good when you have a true fan of Whale Wars.
I mean, I am a true fan, but originally I was thinking, well, maybe I should prank call these people, but I guess not.
You can't go ahead.
I mean,
well, maybe then this was a prank call if you
could
said
be.
That.
Well, all right. Well, we appreciate you calling in, even though you wanted to prank us. If you want to prank us next week, go right ahead. Anyways, thank you. And good luck with your dream of becoming a sea shepherd. I think that's very noble.
All right. Talk to you later, maybe.
Good calling.
Jess, we got who else you got lined up for us?
Okay, good.
All right. Jesse says any no more prank callers.
Got any Gojira for us? No.
No, okay. What the?
Hey.
Why?
Maybe Buzz will prank call next because we have to ask him if he likes crab patties.
All right. Well, he does. Sure.
I guess we can look
all right. Let's go to news and gossip. All right.
AfterBuzz TV News.
The season 3 of Men of a Certain Age will not be happening.
No.
Obviously, that is not Whale Wars related at all.
The show on the network or the AfterBuzz show?
The show on the network
was canceled. And therefore, the AfterBuzz show.
The TNT show was canceled.
Mm.
Yeah, so very sad news. Obviously, John and I love that show. For those of you who don't know, we did the podcast for it. And it was a
really
good show.
It started to get some traction. It was starting to be nominated for awards, certainly the acting and writing in it.
Why did it get canceled?
Well, I don't
know. Not the network. It's just not the network for that show.
Yeah, because it's getting decent ratings. I mean, not decent ratings. It's getting better ratings than a show like, for instance, Breaking Bad or Mad Men. But for that particular network, they wanted more than
that. In fact, it got better ratings than a lot of its shows on that network.
Yeah, exactly.
That have gotten renewed.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not the end.
I don't think so.
I hope they just find a better network.
Yeah.
Because, you know, shame on TNT.
Well, at the end of the day, you can blame TNT and that's fine. But I also think, again, I just don't think they were the right network, the right fit for each other. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just so they broke up. Go elsewhere.
Well, do you have any news about Wales?
Well, Michelle was late today, and we estimated through no calculation or actual statistics.
But it was about 146.4.
Wales died in the time that she was late.
Yeah.
So that's the news. And
somehow you have been made responsible for those 146.
Well, at least it wasn't 200 like last time.
That's always. Well, that's silver lining right there.
By the way, I love how most of the fan mail we get comes to Michelle of like, hey, what can we do about the whales? By the way, I also love your music, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for sending that.
Well, she apparently cares more. At least if the music supported the whales.
Yeah, in some fashion.
Which, if you keep buying the music, then they can support the whales.
But they're not currently doing that.
Well,
currently
I need to
a portion of the proceeds, any of that, nothing.
Yeah, sure. 5%.
5%. Okay, so there you go.
All right, so if you buy Michelle Macedo's music.
Right directly from the singer's mouth.
I'll give it to the whales.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.
All right, okay. No, but on a serious note, these guys have listened to her music. I've listened to her music. Jesse's listened to her music. She's obviously listened to her music.
Go to MichelleMacedo.com. Great album.
Yes, and you know what? It's kind of like...
The views expressed herein are those of...
Uh-huh.
Just kidding.
You know those pure mood CDs or like the whale noise CDs that you sleep to? Her music's kind of soothing in that nature.
I think he means it as a compliment.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Just take it as one.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate that. And a lot of cool stuff is happening soon with that. We're about to release some footage from our first music video.
Ooh, very cool. Nice.
Well, I have to ask this on behalf of our prank caller. Does it show your...
No.
All right.
You don't have to say that.
Oh. Oh, huh. I wonder what you're going to say.
I'll show mine.
That's cool. Helps. Well, watch it and find out.
All right. Well, with that, let's get to predictions.
Here we go.
And now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
Predictions, 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 predictions. I like that.
That's so awesome.
You know what? In many regards, see, I know the secret behind this music.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it's the secret?
Yeah, what's the secret?
Well, okay. The secret is to see if any of our hosts, because now they still think like we're actually being serious about this, but we're really just messing with all the hosts whenever we play this music.
Oh.
And they just try to buy into it. Like, hey, look at the creepy music. Yay, isn't it great?
They think it's serious? Blah, blah.
And so it's almost like a candid camera or like whatever, like to see how people react to the music.
Yeah. All right.
Predictions. So the Steve Irwin goes back to port. The Bob Barker is apparently on some amazing mission, and the Gojira is back.
Back. That's the big key.
Mm.
The Gojira is back. Gojira!
I guess we have to look up that band if it is a real band.
Well, hey, we'll find out.
And that could have been the prank portion of his call. Great.
Yeah, I was saying that too.
But yeah, I mean, your thoughts on the next episode?
Well, they're going to find it. They're going to find the niche tomorrow, so this will be good. I think that they're going to lose a small boat.
You think so?
Mm.
They're going to fire paintballs at the hull.
We know
and
that.
That will be effective.
That's not a prediction. We saw that.
That's nope. You're such an
I'm
oracle.
Psychic.
Okay.
That wasn't televised.
All right. Mm. Well, so, and as always, go to...
I'm going to agree with Ben.
Congratulations.
Just putting in my opinion in case anyone wanted
to ask.
You guys
are really going on the edge.
I'm glad you guys are making the hard call.
No.
Oh, Paul Watson's going to eat someone alive.
By the way, do they find the Nishun or is it just the Yushin?
The Nishun.
That looks like a harpoon
that's
boat.
That's the Yushin.
That's the Yushin.
Yeah, that's the harpoon boat.
They both have harpoons on the front of it.
No.
I don't know. I feel like they would advertise it more, but...
you can see they're different colors.
That's the Yushin.
And shapes.
As we're watching, the previews are right now happening on our TV here.
Okay.
Boom.
And yeah, so who knows? We'll see. Hopefully it is the Nishun that they also engage with, but we'll find out. Anyway, sorry about that. Go to animalplanet.com. Check it out. Obviously, there's amazing footage there, things like that. Do what you can for the whales. We appreciate it. We like to have fun while talking about the show, but obviously a very serious subject. And hey, if you also need to better your life, buy Maria Menounos' book, Every Girl's Guide to Life. It's in case you still haven't gotten it, go out and get it. It's still a great gift. It's a great gift for anyone in the world because it's got lots of pictures, you know? So if you can't... understand or read English, it's got a lot of pictures, so you can kind of get
Point. Yeah, you can get a lot through that.
And you know what? We'll be back next week. We'll be here supporting the whales. From John Comerford, from Ben Bottomley, from Michelle Macedo, from me, Phil Svitek, and Jesse Jandy, we appreciate you, and we love the whales. And we'll see you next week.
Love the whales.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.